I'm going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I'd like to say we appreciate you today, and we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your words here, Lord. We take these words as coming from you, because they do, and in light of that, we ask that you'd open our understanding to them. Pray that we just that could be a blessing to this church here tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen. I'd say about probably less than 10% of the time that I preach on missions, but I'm going to do that tonight, sort of. Let's look real quick in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16, you know the verse, I'm sure. Mark 16, and he says in verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." And then Acts chapter 1, same thing. Verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And then Romans chapter 10. I was talking to a pastor on the phone the other day that was explaining to me that the Great Commission, all that wasn't for us. That we had the ministry of reconciliation. And, of course, those are not competing ideas. We do have the ministry of reconciliation, and we are to go into all the world with that ministry of reconciliation. There's nothing here you can see in Romans chapter 10 that would differ. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall I call on Him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things." And so what I want to look at real quickly is the unfulfilled command or the unfinished command. Before I do, as sort of a preamble to this, in looking at the importance of this command, let's look over in the book of Luke. Now, there are two times in the Bible that Jesus Christ has a book in His hand. This is one of them. Luke chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And so, you know, of course, that he was reading out of Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to turn there real quick. You don't have to. Isaiah chapter 61. And he reads down and he gets to verse 2. And he gets to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he stops. Right? Well, he closes the book there. And the only other time that Jesus has a book is in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 5. It is the Lamb, as the Lamb. Revelation 5, verse 6, and it says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." And he opens the book, and of course, the seals start, right? So we can see in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that is His first coming. And in at his first coming here, he opens the book and he ends it right there in the middle of the verse. And he stops it and he closes the book. Right? This next time he has a book, he opens it and Isaiah 61, verse 2, the end of the verse, takes place. And the day of vengeance of our God. Right? So let's look back in Luke chapter 4 real quick. In verse 19 is where we stop to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And it says, and he closed the book, right? And that's what he did. He closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he provided a way for us to be acceptable to God. When he finished that, he went back to heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Right? It says in this verse that he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and he sat down. After he came, and he fulfilled Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2, part A, he went to heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Before he did, he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister. That's us. We've been called to minister. We've been given that by Jesus Christ. He did his job, and he went down to sit. He went up to sit at the right hand of the Father. Now is not our time to sit. We stand on that verse in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2, where he proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord, and that's what we're doing. We're proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. And we stand on that comma, about to jump off into the day of vengeance of our God. And we're to warn. We're to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and we're to warn of wrath to come. And if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. There has never been a retraction from the Lord regarding His command to go, to preach, to tell the lost about Jesus Christ. In the military, when they disseminate information down the ranks, they do it through an operation order. They call it an op order. In the Army, they use a five-paragraph setup: situation, mission, execution, service and support, and command and signal. And that's how they take information and they break it down through the levels. There are a lot of things that a person needs to get, that a soldier needs to get out of an operation order. But the most important thing to get out of any operation order before you go out on the mission is this. And it's stated, commander's intent. You need to get the commander's intent. Now, a lot of times a soldier comes and he's taking notes of that operation order, and he's listening for all kinds of stuff. How long are we going to be gone? This or that. What's the expected casualty rate? That means, if we take 30% casualties and we complete the objective, it's a success. So it's 30%. How many guys we got? It's a pretty good chance, right? If it's 70%, all right, not so good, right? 70%, we can take 70% soldiers' casualty rate, and if we complete the objective, then it's success. It's a success. But you know, none of that other stuff is really what's important or should be important to any soldier. What should be important to the soldier is to accomplish the commander's intent. Now, for a Christian, what's paramount over anything else would be to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And in the terms of souls, lost souls, I believe that his intent, the commander's intent, can be summed up very clearly in 2 Peter. I quoted it earlier, 2 Peter chapter 3. He says in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And you should make no mistake about that. That is not just a recommendation. It is not just a request. It is not a suggestion. It is an order. It is an expectation. It is a command. And I'd say to you that it is an unfinished command. If you look back there in the Old Testament, those lepers that sat outside Samaria getting ready to die, and they decided, hey, we're going to go out to the Syrian army, and if they kill us, then they kill us. If not, then you know we're no worse than we are right now. So they go out there, and they find out the Syrians have fled. They're sitting around eating all the food, and you know what they say? They say, if we don't take this back to the city, we do not well. Today is a day of good tidings. You know what good tidings? You know what that is? That's the gospel. Brethren, you do not well if you sit on what you got. Because today is a day of good tidings. And now is the acceptable year of the Lord. Now. And it's not going to be that way for much longer. So I'm going to look at the unfulfilled command, and I want to look at, real quick, three reasons, three classes of people that allow this thing to not be fulfilled, to allow it to continually, on a daily basis, for the body of Christ, not being fulfilled, the job not getting done. And so the first group of people that we can see here would be the uncalled. you say, wait a second, there's such a thing? There's people that aren't called to do stuff for the Lord? No, this group of people will refer to themselves as the uncalled. Well, but I'm not. The Lord hasn't called me to do that. I don't really have anything. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible likens the body of Christ to a body, right? And every part of the body has a reason and has a purpose. Now, that's not a complete, perfect analogy, because every person out here has a mouth, right? So every person can tell, right? Every person can do something in regards to that. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, where is it at? Verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. This next verse I always thought interesting. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And that prayer should be along the lines of, here I am, Lord, send me. Not there they are, Lord, send them. There they are, Lord, some, they'll do it for you. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord. You're supposed to be asking the Lord to do something with you. Not all are called to minister, of course, as a pastor or a missionary or something like that. But everybody should be in the fight. There is no fight without an infantryman. And all of us, in God's army, Bible says we're called to be soldiers. All of us are infantrymen. An infantryman, by definition, is a foot soldier whose job is to seek out, close with, and destroy the enemy in close combat. That's the job of an infantryman. You say, I don't like that job. Well, tough, you know. Book of Romans, we were just here, read this exact verse. Says in Romans chapter 10, And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The feet, why? Because you're a foot soldier. You know, he says in Ephesians chapter 6, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why your feet? Because you're a foot soldier. He said, you need to be prepared to be used of the Lord. You should be ready to be used by the Lord. And this command is for everyone. When I was initially putting this message together, I got thinking about infantry. I thought, that's a weird word, infantry. Infantry. Infant. It's a boy foot soldier. Now, the infantry is the main push. Everybody else is there to aid the infantry, right? But there was a time when cavalry were it. Right, and the infantry was a boy foot soldier. He was a less experienced, lower ranking, poorer soldier, basically cannon fodder, sent out to just get wiped out, and then the cavalry came in, right, and took care of business. You say, well, I don't like that. I don't like being designated to the infantry, to a lower class. Well, I can say this: if you'd be happy with it for just a bit longer, there's going to come a time when things are going to change, and you're going to get a promotion. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, you don't got to turn there, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, and you know the rest of the chapter there. But we're going to get promoted to the cavalry one day. But for now, our job is the infantry, is to take the gospel, to go into all the world and preach that gospel. The uncalled, that's the first group of people involved in this command not being fulfilled, the uncalled. And then we have the unheard call. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not understand? Then why don't people hear? Why don't Christians hear God when He gives them something to do? God, when He gives them a directive in their life, when He gives them a call to fulfill, how come people don't hear it? Well, maybe they're not listening. Maybe you're too into yourself. Or maybe there's just too much stuff in the way. They have a test. It's called the Rene Weber test. You do it with a tuning fork to test if someone has a hearing impairment. All right, and this is done often with dive medicine. But what it does is it enables the person, the medical person, to be able to determine whether it is a sensory neural problem or a conduction problem. Sensory neural means maybe there's something occluding one of the cranial nerves, right? And then conduction means the air is just not getting from out here, or noise, through, right? It's not going through the canal and into the inner ear. So you use this tuning fork to figure out what's going on in this situation. Most of the time when there's a hearing problem, it is a conduction problem. Most of the time. It's a conduction hearing problem. That means there's something in the way, something keeping that noise from getting from out here through that canal and into the inner ear. And that could be two things. One of those things is there can be just too much of something that's supposed to be there, like earwax. Earwax can cause enough disruption where the person has a problem hearing. If it's not that, then it's a foreign body. That's something that isn't supposed to be there. It gets lodged in that ear, then they can't hear. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, you might have something in your life that's not sin in and of itself, but you just got too much of it. You just need to get some of it out of the way. Your life is too noisy. Your life is too busy. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You having trouble hearing some things for the Lord? You need to just calm your life down a little bit. You need to just clear your life out a little bit. If it's not that, then it's something that ain't supposed to be there. You know what that is? That's sin. You need to get that out of the way. Whatever it is between you and the Lord, you need to clear it out of the way. If it's not that there's too much stuff in the way, then the only other thing I could think of in regards to that would be that you're just too far away. You've gotten like Peter did. Somebody did something to upset you. Or maybe the Lord did something to upset you. And you've gotten bitter and you've drifted. It said Peter followed him, but afar off. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 4, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. You want God to communicate with you? Look at Exodus chapter 3 real quick. Exodus chapter 3 says in verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. You've got to be within calling distance for the Lord to call. Some of you might need to just turn aside. You just might need to just take a minute and turn aside to the Lord and give the Lord a little bit of time. I don't know what would have happened if Moses had kept on going, but he didn't. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. Many a call went unheard because of a Christian it just wasn't listening. Or because a Christian had too much stuff between him and the Lord, sin or otherwise. Or because a Christian was just too far away. Couldn't hear him call. The uncalled, the unheard call. And I'm going to get this last one really quick. Then there's a rejected call. There's a rejected call. And still in Exodus chapter 3, if you look down through that passage, he gets talking with the Lord in verse 13. It says, Moses said unto God, and what Moses is doing is he's throwing up some things here, some excuses. And then God answers the excuse. And then you get to chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, and Moses gives another excuse, and then God answers his excuse. And then chapter 4, verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, and Moses gives the Lord an excuse, and God answers his excuse. That's how we are today. Lord, I can't do it. I just don't have enough money. Lord, I just got too much money. I can't do it. I got too many kids. Lord, I don't have any kids yet. Lord, I got too much education. Lord, I don't have enough education. Whatever it is, God's got an answer for it. And then you can turn over, still the same chapter 4. And then in verse 12, God tells Moses what he tells us. Now therefore, go. Go ye into all the world. Now therefore, go. I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know what Moses says? Look here. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. Moses said, just send somebody else. That's what he said right there. Just, there they are, Lord, send them. Send by the hand of whom thou wilt send. Just don't let it be me. Now, if you look down in verse 18, it says that Moses went, so he changed his mind. But you know where a lot of people stop? They stop in verse 13. And he said, "Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send." Lord, just please send somebody else. Has there ever been a point in your life where you heard what God tell you to do something and you refused? You rejected what God has for you for what you have for you. You know, the problem with some Christians is they just don't care. You say, "No, God, not now. It's my life. I'm going to do with it as I please." You know what the biggest problem is here? Is eventually the Lord's going to say, "Okay, do with it as you please. See how that goes." You know what you better do? You better get back. It's going to cost you to serve the Lord, but it's going to, either way, you're going to go through things, whether you serve the Lord or whether you don't. But let it be for doing right, not for doing wrong. "Use me, Lord, you did pray. I will serve you night and day. You once realized you understood all could serve, a call for all. Time has passed, you have grown too far away to hear him say. The work's not done, not time to sit, but maybe you don't care a bit. Or perhaps you heard him very clear back when he seemed so ever near. You did answer, though not in words. Ask him, ask her, just not me, sir. No was your wordless reply. I'll live for me. It's my life, mine." The Lord is interested in using you. If you are breathing today and you are saved, the Lord is interested in doing something with you. But you got to be willing. No one is uncalled. The Lord's got something for everyone to do. Many calls went unheard due to a Christian, due to the problems in their life. And then there's the rejected call. There's those that know what God would have them do and then just decide, not going to do it. It's not happening. You don't need to turn here. Exodus 29, verse 12 says, "And thou shalt take the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. Now shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock, and his skin and his dung, shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering." What's that a picture of? Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11. Says, "For the bodies of those beasts," things we were just reading about, "whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." You need to answer the call. You need to respond to the call. You need to be willing to go. If you're here tonight, and some point in your life in the past, you just had enough, and you decided to stop serving the Lord. And you're at church on a Sunday night in 2015. I kind of figured, you know, you mean business. But maybe someone here, and you just, there hadn't been any relationship between you and the Lord for a long time. This isn't really part of this, but Luke chapter 15, he says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." If you really get to where you're going to be used by the Lord in the way you should, in terms of bringing the gospel to other people, of course, you're going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe there's someone here that you just haven't had one in a while. And I bring this passage up because I want to say real quickly as I close, this passage is used a lot in talking about lost people, and it can be used that way if you look at the end of the passage. But the Lord's always doing a double application. The reason I see this can be a saved person too is, for one, it's a sheep, and two, it was in the fold. All right? But if you look at that passage real quick, I want you to tell me what that sheep did to get back in fellowship with the shepherd. Okay? Now, I know you get off and you get serving yourself and you get living for yourself, you're going to have some things to pay. Right? And it's going to cost you, right? But in terms of fellowship, I'm just talking about getting your fellowship back. Look at what the sheep does to get its fellowship back. See, that shepherd came and he was seeking for that sheep. And that sheep had got off and he was on the edge of some precipice somewhere, or had shoved his way into a bramble bush. and the shepherd came up and the sheep could have pushed further into that bush, or he could have jumped off the cliff, right? Or it says, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. The shepherd came to him. The shepherd cut him loose, and the shepherd picked him up and put him on his shoulders. You know what you may need to do? You may need to just let the Lord pick you up. So how did he get the fellowship back? He let the Lord pick him up. Bible says, he said, I come to the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. And this, he's talking about a Christian there. If you're out and you're away from the Lord, you need to get back. And you need to get right. And you need to be willing to be used of the Lord. You need to be interested to be used of the Lord. And you need to be looking for things to do for the Lord. And you need to take that gospel of Jesus Christ. We stand on this comma in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2 that I started with, to proclaim the acceptable years of the Lord. And people, we're about to jump off of that comma. The day of vengeance of our God is right around the corner. And we're the only one. We're the only ones to give them the gospel and to warn of wrath to come. And you ought to be doing it.
All right, let's take a few moments of prayer here just a minute. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes. You heard some real good thoughts there tonight. Maybe some things tied together that you hadn't quite linked together. The thing about the Lord pulling a book twice, that's really good. As Jenny plays, let me give you an opportunity to come tonight. Maybe you've been a little out of sorts, a little out of fellowship. You have opportunity here. Many of you do serve regularly as far as getting the gospel out to the public. Street preaching, visitation, all those things. But there's always more to do, and there is invariably those that have not made the commitment to just regularly pack it up and go deal with people. The Lord's dealt with you about that. It's a good night to square it away. You don't have to go to Malawi, obviously. No, the brother and his family are jumping off into a world that very few of us even know about. To a backwards third world place where things are very different. You don't really have to leave the comfort of your own culture to do what you're supposed to do. Now, if the Lord called you geographically to go elsewhere, then you need to go. But there's a lot to do here. And you start in your Jerusalem and serving God and doing what you're supposed to do. And then if He deals with you about Samaria or the other most parts of the earth, a Malawi, a Romania, a Germany, a China, then that can work. But it starts here. It starts in your neighborhood. Let's look this way. We're going to take a love offering tonight for Brother Osmondo's family. And I warned you about it this morning for the last week or so. So we're going to take a love offering tonight. Anything you give will go to Brother Osmondo. Anybody here can imagine how expensive it is to be on the road, not just going to the field, but he's got to make bills paid while he's on the road as well. So, again, we anticipate your generosity. We never have had problems with this, but please know that Brother Osmondo is a Bible believer. He graduated from the same school I did, and, you know people that know him well and served in the armed services. And, he's done this, made a life change here to go do this. And so, by all means, support him if you can.